You exceed them every time.
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Hope I didn't ruin the movie there for you when I gave you a spoiler alert.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it.
Oh, good.
Have you seen it yet?
No. Which one? Is this the one with Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah.
Happy New Year's, cocktail fans. Welcome. Thank you.
Sorry, go on.
To the gentleman of elegant leisure.
Oh, right. Sorry, we cut you off.
Yeah, you did. How rude. It's not a great way to start off the new year by cutting off the announcer.
Well, it's not the new year yet. This is the old bad year.
Yeah, no.
Cutting off the announcer.
Yeah.
But next year we won't do that anymore. That'll be my New Year's resolution, not to cut off the announcer.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. The first 2 minutes will be all you.
Yeah.
Good. Good. I want silent prayer for 2 minutes.
That's really bad podcasting.
I was hoping for an editorial.
Oh, well, yeah. I could do that. I could revive my final word editorials that were so popular back in the 90s.
But could you do it at the beginning?
Sure. Sure.
Might have to change the name.
Okay. The first word.
The first? Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah.
The first. My first problem. And then you editorialize about something.
Yep. Anyways, I'm Dave.
Hey, Dave.
And who are you?
I'm Jason.
You're Jason.
Hi, Jason.
And you are?
I'm Fred. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Fred.
Oh, no, how does that go?
Who? We're the gentlemen of elegant leisure.
Yes, we certainly are.
I like how Dave refers to us as gentleman Fred, gentleman Dave, gentleman Jason
our Instagram account, which is Cocktail Podcast, if you want to check it out.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah, I should too. I didn't know we did that.
Yeah.
You keep saying that.
Because, I mean,
I've been there, but I haven't seen that.
At first, it was Sir Jason and Sir Fred, but the Queen sent me a nasty letter saying, you really can't do
that. You know, that's...
Gentleman's
as nice as she is, she's got a serious...
She rules with an iron fist.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's protocol.
Protocol. Yeah. So, yes, gentlemen, here we are for our last show, I guess.
Of the what?
Before we transfer over to 2018.
2018.
Yeah.
When you're listening to
this in the future,
2024,
isn't that like decades away?
Wow, they were still drinking in 2018.
Yeah.
No, it seems so weird.
Shouldn't we have flying cars? Shouldn't we be going around like the Jetsons?
I was promised a flying car.
Yeah.
By somebody.
Maybe.
Well, if you get it going fast enough.
Yep. Yeah. It's still possible.
Still possible.
The landing.
Yeah. No, it's a bugger on the suspension.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to put your foot out, don't you, to slow it down? Oh, no, that's the Flintstones, right? You got to get them mixed up.
You've gone the opposite from flying cars.
Flying, right. Maybe we should start on that first, the Flintstones. Stone Age, and then we'll work our way up. Yes.
So that's the theme, Stone Age cocktails.
Yep. We brought a rock.
Yep. Some twigs. You grind up the twigs and some leaves.
Mm-hmm. You leave berries out for too long.
Oh, yeah. No.
So you get dizzy water out of them.
So we're going to make some dizzy water.
Mm-hmm.
This will take till April.
That's utter nonsense.
No. Yes.
What?
Milk is utter nonsense.
No. But we're not going to call them Stone Age cocktails. We're going to call them New Year's cocktails.
It is. It's time for New Year's. It's time to raise a glass and toast this old, awful year out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all hope that 2018 will be a better year than 2017.
Yeah.
But based on the previous years, going back, I don't think one has ever gotten better.
No.
No.
No, not recently.
Yeah.
Things were looking good in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I guess.
Things were looking pretty sweet.
But did each year actually get any better?
I think so.
Really? Yeah. Can you think of an example? Because Dave and I were both, we were far too young in the 70s.
Oh, well, you know, the disco brought people out and they were dancing. It was a good time to be alive. You know, people were socializing, dancing cheek to cheek. You know.
That sounds absolutely awful.
Yeah, well, of course. It depends on if you like the person you're dancing with, I suppose.
Yeah.
But then punk rock came along.
Oh, thank God.
And so people started just dancing by themselves again.
Right.
Yeah. And punching them.
And punching
their dancing partners.
That's right. So, which is, I know you're fond memories of that.
Oh, jumping into the mosh pit? Yeah, come on.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Stay tuned for our next podcast, The Gentleman of Elegant Moshing. right.
The Podfathers of Punk.
Whoa.
Oh, ooh, nice.
See? That's why you're
anybody
charge.
Wants that title.
That's right. Buy it.
Yeah.
So, what's the first, getting back to our topic, cocktails?
First recipe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a recipe?
Here's what a lot of people do. I don't know if you guys have ever celebrated a New Year's Eve.
No, not really.
I'm usually in bed by 7.
Some people will stay up all the way till midnight.
Mm.
In the morning?
Yeah, exactly. It's a strange, there's a crossover time. It makes no sense.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. But a lot of people will pop the cork on a bottle of bubbly.
Mm-hmm. Water?
Sometimes water, yep, if they have a drinking problem. Sometimes champagne if they don't have a drinking problem. Oh, sometimes even if they do have a drinking problem.
Good point.
Hence the problem. And so these are bubbly cocktails. These aren't just champagne, which will do just fine.
Sure.
You know, if you don't want to do this, I'm not going to twist your arm. Who the hell am I to come in stomping into your Christmas season and make
that's
you do
right.
this?
That's right. You're not some cocktail Nazi.
No.
Who's going to tell people they got to drink this or drink that. Just a suggestion.
In fact, you know what? Never mind. Do whatever you want to do.
I don't care.
Yeah. We don't know who you are.
I don't celebrate New Year's.
Who are you people? Yeah. Why are you listening in on our conversations all the time?
I think this thing's bugged. I think there's something in this.
I think I'm suspicious because, yeah, people talk about stuff that only the three of us should know.
This microphone-shaped vase I bought that has no place for flowers in it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Never should have plugged it in the first place.
So your cocktail
is called Sage North.
Sage
That's
North.
Very mysterious.
It is mysterious.
Yeah. Why do you think it's called that?
I don't know. I should have done some research in it. This is a brand new cocktail.
Oh, you've got the glasses on.
Well, the print is so tiny.
I'd say he's Dr. Cocktail, but there's already somebody called that. So.
Yeah. I'm Professor Cocktail.
Exactly. Tell us, Professor Cocktail.
But it was in the latest copy of the Taste magazine that we've quoted before and used before.
Oh, sure.
It's put out by the BC Liquor Board.
And it's free, too.
Yeah. Add a dash of sparkle, sparkling holiday cocktails. And I thought that fit the bill.
Mm-hmm. Certainly did.
And these are made by the wonderful David Wallawidnik.
Who we've had on the show, not really, but his drink.
But his drink has been on the show, yes. And he's, as far as I know, he is still down at Botanist doing his amazing stuff.
Oh, remember that time we went down there as a group?
We never went as a group.
No. You went.
Oh, good.
I went.
Sort of a group with your significant other.
A group of two.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it'll happen over the Christmas season.
It might.
Except you'll be gone.
He won the world's most imaginative bartender award.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was just because of the way he dressed.
Exactly. And his colorful way of speaking. And that was a Bombay Sapphire Award.
Oh.
And he got Canada's Best Mixologist and a Grey Goose Award.
Well, how come we're not getting any awards?
And he got, I don't know, I don't think, there was scholarships? Can we apply for scholarships?
That'd work.
A lot of paperwork.
He got Bartender of the Year from Vancouver Magazine.
Holy smokes.
And he's a certified spirit specialist and a founder of the Canadian Professional Bartenders Association. Ooh.
How do you get certified? And he's the founder?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, geez. We might still be able to get in on the ground floor on this thing.
It says he is known as a thought leader in Canada's cocktail culture. A thought leader.
Thought
leader standing by.
I don't think I want to. He sounds too smart for us. Now that you mention it.
And he had four sparklers. A poinsettia spice, a petiole, perhaps is how you say it. Sage North and Apple Thyme. And because I grow sage in my yard on account of all the smudging I do.
Sure.
I don't do smudging. I do a smidgen of smudging.
Yeah. A soupçon?
No, it has to be a smidgen.
I guess you're right.
And so this one, Sage North, has rye, some sage honey, some lemon juice, some grapefruit juice, and a little bit of bubbly to top it all off. And so I thought, well, why don't we do that? How do you make sage honey, you're probably wondering?
Yes. I bet you need sage.
You need sage.
And honey?
Honey, exactly. You boil the sage.
I was going to say horseradish.
But you didn't want to swear?
No.
And you remove the sage out of the boiling water after 15 minutes. And now you just have sage-flavored water, which you mix with the honey. And it ends up looking like this. It's sort of a murky honey slurry.
Yeah.
I better get a picture of that. Because not only is it... unusual concoction, but it's in a neat little mug. Mm-hmm. It's photogenic, is what that is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mug was that photogenic.
Yeah. Nicely done. Yeah. Good night, everybody. It's not going to get any better than that. Thump. Huh. And yeah, so and I figured, you know, it's brand new. I haven't tasted it. But how would I taste it? I didn't even have the sage honey made until lunchtime today. And for those weather fans out there that like to document weather around the world.
Sure, yeah, but who doesn't?
In the greater Vancouver area today, there is a snowfall warning.
Yes. It's coming down.
There was up to, they say, could be up to 6 inches in some places.
They didn't say that.
They did.
No, they don't say it because that's imperial. Imperial measurement. We don't,
use it. I'm doing it for the
international audience, which also use metric. But, you know.
Well, there's one country in particular.
Oh, okay. I won't mention them.
No. But but not here. And there was only, you know, whatever they, 22, I don't know how much, centimeters. Right. They had some centimeters.
Okay.
Here? No.
There were some.
There were some centimeters.
Yeah. Not many centimeters.
There may be 10 centimeters. Which is
by the end of tonight.
3 or 4 inches for those of you in the one country that still uses that?
That's 4 inches, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Fred has doubts about my sage honey.
Why is that?
Because he smelled it and he says it smelled like honey. And full disclosure, I was the one that made him smell it because I said, it seems a lot just like honey, but it's got a bunch of sage water in it.
No.
Well, he had the idea of muddling some sage.
Okay.
As best we could muddle. And so I'm going to...
We muddle.
I'm going to muddle a couple of leaves.
Isn't our conversation muddled enough?
Yeah, you're right.
But go ahead. It's New Year's. So
did you get Dave a muddler?
He did not.
Oh.
I thought you had got him a muddler at some point.
Hmm. Maybe we talk about Dave a lot when he's not around. We should get Dave this. We should get Dave that.
Yep.
Well, I'm just going to do a little cursory muddle here.
Oh, okay. There you go. You muddle with a spoon. Why not?
And Fred has assured me that cutting and squeezing fruit live on this podcast is really the way to go.
It's riveting. I tell you, people can't wait to hear the sound of a knife slicing through a fresh piece of citrus.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I've often thought otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Well, it gives more time for witty repartee.
I don't know if we have time for witty repartee on account of the snowfall.
Woody can't get here?
We got to get home.
Mm.
Anyway, I will talk while we do this then.
Yes.
What's... Oh, that's the lemon?
This is called a lemon.
Ah. Mm. I thought it was kind of yellow for a grapefruit.
These come from...
But that other thing you've got there is an orange.
That's yours, though.
Oh.
Right?
And the grapefruit's over there.
I'll trade you an orange for a grapefruit.
Sure, thanks.
Aren't you using grapefruit?
I am, but I wasn't going to accidentally cut your orange.
I thought you were.
Oh, no.
You're eyeing it up. I can hardly wait to stab you.
Is this the riveting...
This is the stuff I was talking about. This is the riveting part.
The riveting cliffhanger
people
at the end
how
of the year?
Probably with you punching me, I think is how it's going to end.
Never! So did everybody have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Of course.
No, I got a hovercraft.
Oh, neat.
Yep. I took it out to the swamp.
Hmm?
And what did you do in the swamp?
I just sort of spun around in circles. I don't know how to drive it. It was kind of embarrassing.
Well, I got a vintage B-52 bomber.
Wow.
I just need to learn how to fly before I can take it around.
Where do you keep it?
Oh, I've rented a barn. A very large barn.
That's good.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to rent a large barn big enough for a B-52.
Yeah. Well...
There he goes. Okay. He's pouring the juice.
I will think of that at on your birthday.
Yeah, year. Well, it's coming up Fred, in 10 months or so.
That's right.
So you don't even want lemon pulp in you. This is going to be a clear cocktail.
This is going to be as clear as we can make it.
Oh, okay.
It calls for... I'll read it out here. 3/4 ounce of rye, 1 ounce of sage honey, 1/2 ounce of freshly squeezed lemon juice, strained.
Oh.
2 ounces of freshly squeezed ruby grapefruit juice, strained.
Yikes.
2 ounces of some champagne, and a large sage sprig for garnish.
Sure. All right, then. Well, if Walla Widnick... What's his name?
David Walla Widnick?
Okay.
Oscar De La Hoya?
Oscar De La Hoya. But, you know, if It obviously works, or else he wouldn't be doing it.
That's right. I just put that in there for now. Remember that I put lemon juice in your shaker. Yeah.
Okay.
For,
yeah.
For well, how long?
Speechless. Absolutely speechless.
Never. I was trying to filing it away, but I didn't know where to put it.
Jason's cocktail faux pas. And now he is gently, gingerly slicing that grapefruit.
Oh, yeah.
That's a juicy grapefruit. Look at the color.
It's ruby red.
It's almost, I guess maybe you're right. I guess it is ruby red.
And I can almost guarantee that this is a mistake to slice citrus on the podcast.
Really?
No, I don't know.
I normally bring mine pre-squeezed.
Oh, you do, but I never do.
No, you never do.
I mean,
because you're lazy. That's why.
Refuses to pre-squeeze.
Yes.
No, I
treat it like I'm a professional bartender that's done a lot of prep work earlier in the day.
Before your bar is open.
I do it like an amateur craft bartender who wants everything as fresh as possible.
That's right. You don't want the nutrients to...
Oh, exactly. You know, it oxidizes.
And then you lose your vitamin C.
Sure.
Well, you seal it. Seal it up tighter than a bull's ass at fly time. That's how I like to seal it.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight.
With a grizzly metaphor, apparently.
Old grizzly metaphor.
About a bull.
There we go.
Oh, this is a very nice grapefruit. Holy cow.
That's super juicy.
Is this the time of year for...
Yep, it's grapefruit juicy? Season.
Is it?
Apparently that's a three-legged cutting board.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Oh, you're right, it is. Yeah, I think if we're going to do anything, one of our New Year's resolutions would be we got to start videotaping this just to see what a bunch of klutzy morons we are in the bar. To give you confidence at home.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, I'm sure it sounds like we are seasoned professionals who know exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. But we're not even seasonal farm workers.
No, we should be so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
No, look at that strain. Yeah, I didn't want those...
But you're straining like a banshee there. It's
I'm Mr. Banshee. Let's see if we can get a little bit more action out of here. Because it calls for 2 ounces of this, and of course we double our recipes here for the sharing purposes. But so I'm trying to get 4 ounces out of this thing.
Did you?
I did.
Woohoo!
They know what they're doing when they make these, apparently, too.
Yeah.
Look at that, a lovely looking thing,
good, because I'm hungry. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, well, hang on for all that pith.
Pulp?
Pulp, I mean.
I mean, I'll take some pith, too.
You're just going to make some pithy comments if I know you. In goes the rye.
So it's just one of those?
It's not. It's really a honey drink, I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
And the sage honey. So we need 1 ounce of it. I'll hang on to these little guys.
He's talking about sage leaves.
Yeah. Not anything on his body.
No.
But I was tempted to hang on to those little guys, too, just because I'm so excited about it. That is a lot of honey.
It is.
Oh, combine rye, honey, lemon, and grapefruit juice in a mixing glass with ice. Let's put in some ice in here. Oh, I'm already delighted by this drink.
Yeah. Do I need to do anything here?
You need to stand over there so that the microphone can pick up your questions. And then we stir this.
Oh,
actually you do. Sorry. Open up one of these. That's what you were going to do.
Oh, that's probably what it was. Hoping that this works.
Yeah, the sound is not as pleasing as a shaking thing.
No.
But you're going to get a festive pop. Oh, no, those guys don't actually pop, do they? They just kind of...
I don't even know how this thing comes apart. This is...
Is there instructions?
I hope so.
Gosh.
Well, that's not...
It's all part of the fun.
The first time I ever opened a bottle of sparkling wine, or of any sort, was on stage.
Really?
I was 17.
Wow. You didn't know what you were doing?
We only... Nope.
It was a wonderful year.
Thank you very much. Because it was a high school production, and I don't know what... The teacher was thinking, giving me a bottle of actual sparkling wine. But anyway, I'd never opened one before, and so I you know, it was opening night. Actually, it was the only night.
Oh.
And I took the foil off, and in front of me was a little wire pigtail.
Yes.
And so I ripped my fingers apart, undoing it. Not realizing that if I turned the bottle around, there was a little loop that you would actually turn.
Right, of course.
So I had the other end. And I couldn't figure out why it was taking so long. Why did they make it so hard? Oh, stupid.
Now
stupid.
You know.
Now I know. I just have to wait for the screw cap sparkling wine to come out.
And that's just revolutionized everything.
It certainly has.
And I'll put a little bit of fizz in here while you take that picture, Dave, so that all of our folks at home know what an amazing deal this is. So there's the use of your champagne.
And we're going to get a sprig?
We're not going to get a sprig. It says to bruise. So I'm going to just bruise a couple of leaves here.
Well, we want a leaf in there, Dave.
Yeah, just...
Oh, okay. Oh, here. Y'all
garnish that guy.
Garnish.
I'll put a leaf in there. And then this one here that looks the biggest mess, I think I'll take for myself. Because it's kind of awful looking. This is for you, Fredders.
I'll bet.
And for the first toast of the new year... Mm-hmm. The Sage North.
Thanks to David Wolowidnik.
David Wolowidnik, a botanist in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
See, now it just rolls off the tongue. Wolowidnik.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's nice.
Mmm. Mm. Yeah. Delicious.
Get a little sage off of that.
Mm. Yes, you are getting a little sage off of that. I mean, I guess the bruise bit gets in our nose.
Mm.
Get the sage honey.
The honey at the top of the mouth.
Whoa, David, Mr. Wolowidnik, you've done a wonderful job again. Thank you so much.
No wonder he's won awards.
I'm going to write a letter to his boss.
Yes.
I don't know how good a job he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know that Ensign Wolowidnik is.
Mm-hmm.
Deserves a promotion.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, now this... This is... Where do you drink this? I'm so tired of making a slightly fizzy drink into a brunch drink, but that's my immediate thought is it's citrusy and bubbly.
I'd like it in front of a fire.
Would you?
Sure.
Well, then look at your car. What the heck is happening to my car? Yes, no, that's just lovely.
That is lovely. Boy. Can't go wrong. Nothing wrong with that.
No. And his other recipes that he had here, which would be available, maybe I'll put a link onto our blog page.
Yeah.
Because this one here has a spiced cranberry cordial in it. This one has a rhubarb cordial. This one has an apple cinnamon cordial.
Mm.
And this one had the sage honey. So there's just a tiny little bit of extra work. But they're all really easy recipes. It's just a matter of mixing cinnamon with sugar and unsweetened apple juice in the one case and stuff like that. But holy cow, what a difference it makes.
Yeah. I mean, even the sage honey's not so bad.
No. The sage honey gets cut. I was so alarmed by the amount of honey, but it gets cut by the citrus so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sage comes through. And then the fact that rye is in there, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, rye and champagne.
Yes, rye and champagne. That's my character's name. Frank Parker's nemesis, Ryan Champagne.
Okay, Champagne, you've met your match.
Wow. You've developed that laugh very quickly.
I did.
You improvised. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive.
No, I've had a big plan ahead here for this.
Ryan Champagne. Ryan Champagne.
Shadow, what are you doing here? We can't afford the licensing on you.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, I think that is just smashing.
The bee's knees, as the Brits would say. I would.
Is that what the Brits would say?
Sage North.
I think they would say that. Mm. They would say the cocktail.
All right.
I just have to pour this somewhere for Fred.
Oh, because I've got some shaking going on.
That's right. And
a whole lot of shaking.
Do you want to use the other... You want to use mine?
Fine.
Okay.
Oh, we got two juicers.
Yeah. I don't...
And thank God we did.
Was my juicer too small?
We were concerned for the grapefruit that it would be. So, yeah.
Overwhelmed by the grapefruit.
That's right.
The massive...
This is a...
I think I could dump that in.
You know, I can't get over this drink.
I mean, it's just lemon and stuff, but you have to use for it. You shouldn't be able to get over that drink. This drink should consume you.
Yeah.
This drink should be the thing that you remember last before you die.
I already remember it. I'm still drinking it.
Yeah. the what is it called? Sage North.
Yeah.
And so in his recipe, he calls for Northern Harvest rye from our friends in Gimli, Manitoba.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm pretty sure I have family in Gimli, Manitoba. I don't know if they work at the
Was that, is that where the Gimlet was invented? Yeah. In Gimli?
That was the Gimli glider.
No.
I wonder if there's a Gimli Gimlet.
There should be.
In the Harry Potter books, there should be a Gimli Gimlet.
Well, we just slide over there. Where are you going?
I'm done. That's me. That's me.
Good night, everybody.
Jason Dedrick is wrapped. Everybody hand for Jason?
That's right.
The opening act is now finished.
I'll move over here. Yeah, often I will mix both the drinks, but today Fred is...
I don't know what I was thinking. I like it when you make both the drinks.
In the year 2018, Dave will be making all of the drinks.
Yep. I'll also be doing all the filming.
Yes. Mixing.
Yes, mixing.
You won't have to worry about the filming, because it's all going to be covered on one static cam.
Oh, we're going to have a... Good thinking. I like it. So I'm getting ice right now.
Now, yours is shaken.
Not...
Whereas mine was stirred.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I would like to ask David to say, why was this stirred?
Yeah.
Especially when it has all of that cloudy citrus in anyway. Who cares if you shook it up?
Well, I guess maybe he strains it even more fine. Finer-ish?
Maybe.
Finest?
I don't know.
The finest kind?
Because, it's usually because you don't want to get bubbles in a cloudy drink. I mean, I'm okay either way.
Okay.
I'm going to drink it quickly enough,
I'll say.
Thanks.
There we go.
And yours is called the Happy New Year Cocktail.
That's right.
Straightforward.
From my good friends at the Spruce.
What's
the
in
Spruce?
It?
I'm glad you asked.
I am too.
Not really. But now, the recipe calls for 1.5 ounces of ounces.
Mm.
Not ounces.
1.5 ounces of brandy, 3/4 of an ounce of ruby port. I think mine might be a tawny port.
Oh, wow, I'm scared.
But it's a port.
I think the last time we had port on the show was when we made that awful New Orleans drink.
Zingaro.
The Zingaro. Oh,
the deadly Zingaro.
Great. 3/4 of an ounce of orange juice and 4 ounces of champagne. Of course, we can't afford champagne.
No. We're using afford real paint.
Sparkling wine made in the tradition, méthode traditionnelle.
Right.
So this is a fine German sparkling wine, and it's lovely. And it's award-winning, and there's no reason why it won't be just great.
And, some of these will call for a drier brut champagne. Right. This is not going to be that dry, but for the amount, how much does yours call for? Mine only called for like a couple of ounces.
Four.
Oh, God.
Well, we'll see how that works out.
That's rye and Ryan champagne.
So, I'm going to try and make some orange juice.
I think these would be fun drinks to have at a New Year's Eve party.
Oh, yeah. I think so. You can knock them out pretty quick. I mean, the trick is not to give your friends like a list of 5 drinks and say pick from, 2 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have everything out there, and then you can just pretty much knock them out. Uh-huh. Bang, bang, bang.
Your friends?
Oh, yeah.
That's why no one went to your New Year's party.
Not long for this world. Let me see if I can make this thing work. 3/4 of an ounce, eh?
Okay, sounded like a chicken.
Oh. Hey!
I did.
There's no meat at all in this cocktail. Not this time.
That's right. That's the other thing. Was vegetarian cocktails.
Yeah. We should do more vegetarian cocktails. Mm-hmm. People might appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Bacon washed. Did you have enough juice from your orange?
Oh, did I?
Of course, the citrus makers.
Yeah. No, they make the oranges just the right size for cocktail people. So that was easily... Yeah. So 1 orange, really all you need to make 1.5 ounces of juice. 3/4 of an ounce of ruby port. We'll see what color this is. That ruby grapefruit turned out the right color. So
I can't believe how successful we were.
Oh, yeah, no.
So now the numbers that you're saying out loud, are those the real numbers or are those the doubled numbers?
I don't know. I'm rambling.
Okay.
The part of the numbers I'm saying out loud are the doubled numbers. So again, it's 1.5 ounces of brandy, 3/4 of an ounce of ruby port, 3/4 of an ounce of orange juice, and 4 ounces of champagne.
I get you.
Or as much champagne as you can fit in the glass.
Yeah, I can fit a lot in my glass.
So this is Warre's Warrior port wine.
I love port.
Sure.
You love port?
Nope.
Really?
I'm already drinking enough. I don't need to add port to the list.
Well, methinks he doth protest too much, Dave.
I said, I do like port, but who's got the time?
Well, I do.
Well, sure, you do. So, I keep forgetting to go out and buy brandy.
Right.
Stupid. You might have some brandy here.
Well, I bought my bottle of Pierre Ferrand cognac.
Oh, oh right. Well,
that's good. Well, classic.
Premier Cru de Cognac.
If that's the best you can do, then do the cognac.
Exactly.
I mean, sure, it calls for brandy. Lovey!
There we go.
Now we truly are the gentlemen of elegant leisure.
Wow. Thurston Howell's dropped by.
Who's that character on The Family Guy with the big bottom?
Mr. Bottom. Teeth or Mr. Bottom Jaw?
Bottom Chin?
Bottom Chin? I don't know.
Does it smell like cognac?
Oh, this smells better than cognac.
Oh, wow.
You want to try, have you guys had any of this?
What, straight?
Straight.
Well, I don't know.
The Pierre Ferrand?
Maybe later on.
This is the stuff
dreams are made of?
Dreams are made of. Wondrich. Didn't he have a hand in everything that Pierre Ferrand does?
He might.
Because he was involved with the OFTD, Old Fashioned Traditional Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he convinced them to whip this stuff up.
Oh, okay.
Because for a cognac, this is really well priced.
Right.
At least when you buy it in the States.
And is it a replica of a period
it
time?
It is. From 1840.
Oh, yeah. That's got Mr. Right. David Wondrich.
Yeah.
All over.
Exactly the kind of thing he would come up with.
Yes.
So I think that's it. It's really not that much. The stuff you're shaking is just the brandy, the port, and the orange juice.
This is the kind of cognac pioneers of the bar, such as Jerry Thomas, Harry Johnson, and Lee Engel would have used in their juleps, cocktails, crustas, and punches. So there you go.
Yeah.
So this is very authentic.
Oh, it is indeed. I love this. I love this shaker because it sounds. You know, you remember War of the Worlds, the radio show?
I do.
This is the sound that it made when the aliens were coming out.
All right, get it right up there.
Right. The aliens had to use, a screwdriver to get out of their ship?
The hatch was threaded on.
Oh.
That's as far as...
Yeah.
And they came out and they wreaked havoc for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then the birds killed them.
Yep.
And bug, molecule, disease.
That's right. Yep. Microbes and whatnot.
They were advanced enough to get all the way here.
Yep.
But they couldn't see.
They didn't have a filtration system on their suits.
Yeah. They couldn't handle a little bit of simple bacteria.
Simple
exactly.
Bacteria. Common cold.
Yeah.
Killed them.
Exactly.
And that's why we will never go to Mars.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not going.
We don't know what lives there.
Exactly. Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah.
It's a little baby alien coming out.
That's right. It's the smaller little ship. The coupe. The hatchback.
Oh, hello! Take me to your leader!
I don't believe the aliens in the original War of the Worlds spoke.
No.
I didn't know if they made a hissing
noise. I added that. No, they didn't. They didn't say much.
They had tentacles.
Yeah, they had
like
no dialogue. They were SOC.
All right.
The technical term for it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me start pouring away here.
Holy. Oh my gosh, it's dark.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it had port in it.
Port in it.
Yeah.
And you had port in it.
Portnoy's complaint. I think we did that joke in a previous episode.
Yeah, nobody laughed in either.
No.
Yeah. No big Philip Roth fans. But,
seems like that's about all there is.
I think that's...
Did I get it pretty even there?
Yeah, no.
What's left in the... I'm going to have to crack a second one.
Oh, I should have cracked one for you. Oh, well, you're kind of a pro at it now that you know that it only comes off the top and...
I'm going to just say that that's 4 ounces.
So each drink is supposed to have 4 ounces in it?
Yep.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to be alcoholics by the time this thing is over.
Well, no, it's just that I think...
It's mainly just... It's going to say, this tastes a lot like sparkling wine.
No, it's not even that. I mean, just... It's because of... I can't figure out the math on what we do here. Because we've doubled it, it doesn't seem like... Anyway. That even in these... Yeah. Well, 4 ounces... So this wouldn't be, though. This would be 4 ounces divided by...
It would be...
2 multiplied by 3 or some stupid...
Eight divided by 3. Which is 2.75 or something.
Right. So if you were making the drink for yourself at home, you'd have room in there for 4 ounces.
Yeah. And I didn't measure it. I don't know how much I put in.
You're Freddy Freeport.
Yep. Freddy Freeport. I think it's still going to be fine.
Yeah?
Is my guess.
Well, I'm guessing you're probably right.
Yeah.
It certainly looks
delicious. This looks fancy. This looks like too fancy for us.
It does. Happy New Year, boys. Happy New Year, people at home.
Fruity, but it's very dry.
Yes, it's a dry nose, but it's a flavorful nose.
Yeah. Very porty.
Yes. It's, and champagne-y, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can definitely feel the taste of champagne.
I think I get
so
more.
This is a cocktail for people who like a nice red wine. I mean, this is really, you put the port and the champagne together. It's really a red wine buzz off of this.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a fortified. What's the alcohol content there on Mr.
Mr. Porto?
Mr. Porto.
This is 20.
Right.
20%.
So it's cutting it back to a pretty doable, probably, I don't know, 13 or 14%.
Yeah.
And you've made wine. Which is what was so funny when I thought about all those punch recipes, right?
Yes.
Where they were just trying to make wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all they were trying to
do. Yeah.
Because they couldn't get wine.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and you're trying to make wine.
Yep.
Wine substitute.
It's like on Mr. Roberts when they make whiskey.
Yeah.
Alcohol alchemy, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They were trying to get something. Mm. They had to use...
They should call it alchemahol.
Exactly. Alchemahol.
Mm. Yeah, what did they do with Mr. Roberts? They've got iodine...
Yeah,
coloring of some sort.
A little bit of Coca-Cola.
A little bit of Coca-Cola.
They had to start off with pure alcohol from the doctor.
Right.
They had a little bit of Coca-Cola for color, a little bit of iodine for flavor. I can't remember what else. There was another thing in there. A couple of things.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, that's pretty much the taste. But, so this is completely different.
Yes.
Yeah, very different.
So, whereas the other one is really quite a sweet drink, relatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
This is dry. It's as dry, almost as dry as a dry dry red wine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to cook with this.
I would love to cook with this. Maybe liver and onions.
Maybe not. Yes, and it's funny, because the other one, I immediately went to brunch.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I would not have at brunch.
No, it's a little, too dry.
No, this one you would also almost have with dinner.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
This is a thinking by the fire mm-hmm. dinner, before dinner, canapes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a nice liver pate, huh?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
With onions?
Yeah, sure. That's the way I like it.
Who is this one credited to? Do they take credit on the spruce? Do they say that this
no.
is served in a bar anywhere?
No, this...
It's anonymous.
It's anonymous with...
It's a group effort, near as I can tell. They never seem to credit anybody, although I suppose you dug into the website. But no, I printed off the recipe. And yeah, they don't credit anybody. So
okay, well
they're sort of a little bit like communists over there.
Yeah.
Would you say that it's a new recipe in that it was like from one of their fresh posts on the spruce?
That's right. Yeah, it just came out in the last week or so.
Mm, fortnight
of the season. Oh yeah, definitely within the fortnight. but I like it. I mean, I do my taste do tend towards the sweet a little bit more.
Yes. No, if I had to say which one I wanted to have another one of, I would like to try another one of the sage.
Mm-hmm.
The sage one. But they're both very good, and they'd both be wacky and different for your New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. Make up a bunch of these things.
Yeah. I think...
Cowards? I guess I shouldn't do that, should I?
No, that's you might have to take that out later. I'm going to try something salty. I'm going to eat.
Okay.
Now, the first rule of broadcasting is don't eat while you're... talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I'll stop talking. I'm just going to see what the salt does.
The second rule of broadcasting is don't talk about broadcasting.
Exactly.
And Dave was taught that at BCIT, back when you were there, becoming you were going to be a hockey announcer.
That's right.
Play-by-play.
Yeah.
And a color guy.
Mm-hmm. And he was going to switch to soccer.
Oh, on the off-season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We did that to cover. A little salty snack does help.
All right, I'm going to try to eat something, too. Would you like to try to eat something?
I would like to try a salty snack.
Well, then I'll have to talk while you guys are eating.
Yes.
All right.
Because the first rule of broadcasting is don't eat and talk.
Yeah. But, it's intriguing. Because we don't do a lot. Maybe we do. I'm trying to think. I know I was talking to somebody about tiki drinks the other day. And I don't want to say.
All right.
But,
yeah, you're right. That is nice. With but food, it's a drink with food.
Yeah. Yep. But with tiki drinks, a lot of people think, oh, it's they're going to be all sweet and cloying and, mm-hmm. And actual fact.
Like Jason.
But,
sweet, cloying.
Yeah. That's true.
Obsequious.
Obsequious. But with tiki drinks, most of them are I'd say, sour. I mean, and without a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. There are some that do. Mm-hmm. But I think they've got that reputation because of the bad bar mixes over the years. As
I think you're right.
People start cheapening the experience.
Sweet and sour.
Yeah, but they're most of them, it's like they're quite often when I'm making them for Laura, she'll say, I get a little more sugar in that.
Right. Yeah, they're more tart.
They're more tart.
The citrus is there, and the sweetness is just to cut the...
That's right.
That.
So there's usually not that much sweetness. And so sometimes people get used to that. And I think this might be a little bit of a surprise to some people. But that being said, I think if you're somebody who drinks red wine, this is right in that realm. Mm-hmm. And yet it's a little different. So the flavor profile is different because of all the ingredients.
And you get a little bit of buzzy tongue action from the fizz.
The buzzy tongue action. Who doesn't like buzzy tongue action?
Who doesn't like a little bit of Ruth buzzy tongue action? Artie Johnson, that's who.
Oh, I love your obscure pop culture. Dated pop culture.
You like a little buzzy tongue action. Huh? Yeah. Well, I've been waiting 40 years to do that.
You have to pull out your old laughing routine.
That's right.
Good for you.
Ringy ding ding. I can't remember. It's Alan Seuss, but I don't remember how. My Alan Seuss impression is rusty. My rusty impression, though, is bang on.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's Seussian.
Seussian.
I saw Joanne Worley when I was about... 7 years old at Universal Studios.
What was she doing there?
No.
I think Universal Studios used to actually have, not major stars, but Joanne Worley, level
wander
stars.
Around?
Well, no, she was sort of in an area, and she was talking to maybe you could meet her, but I guess it gave them some credibility as being a studio. Yeah. Which they were.
They still are.
They've
got the back lot.
Until they're swallowed up by Disney, like everything else.
Yeah, eventually it'll all just be bulldozed and sold for condos.
What a great location for condos, though. On the hillside there?
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. No,
nothing better than the north side of a hill.
In Southern California.
That's true.
It keeps the heat down.
Did you get to meet Joanne Worley?
I don't believe we did, but we took a picture of her.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Oh. You said, hey, I want money for that.
Did you bring it?
No, but it's...
That's
I didn't
not the
know it was going to come up.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't until just your Ruth Buzzy...
references. Wow, Joanne Worley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Universal Studios, about this time of year, 1975.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I swear. Mm. You know who else was there?
No.
Frankenstein Monster.
No.
Yeah.
The Frankenstein Monster?
A Frankenstein Monster.
No. Still.
Dracula.
That's pretty good. Uh-huh. The Dracula?
And Dracula.
and Dracula. Mm. His daughter?
Yeah. She's lovely.
She is. Nothing like her dad.
She is lovely.
Mm. No, it's, you know, it's a great place to be. No, we were there, they were filming, what were they filming? They were doing... actually, we were there when they were doing Desperate Housewives, so they that whole thing, that set was on their back lot.
Mm.
And that one, the Ghost Whisperer, they shot that there.
Did they?
I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, don't go dissing them.
I'm not dissing the Whisperer. No, I'm not the Ghost Disperer.
You were slagging Universal, saying you're not really a studio.
Well, back then, holy cow, Marcus Welby or something was there, or Barnaby Jones, or maybe both of them. All sorts of.
They had my Three Sons house was still there when we were there in 71.
Okay,
they hadn't knocked it down yet.
Right,
and the Munsters house I think was there.
I think the Munsters house is still there, but of course they repainted, so it just looks like a house.
And the Marcus Welby house was formerly the Leave It to Beaver house.
Oh,
just saying.
I hope you're over 50 and you're listening to this. If you're,
I don't.
Sorry,
any
about
you millennials
that,
will know. Yeah, say, what the hell?
All you can do is, was the My Three Sons house was the Leave It to Beaver house?
No, you leave just it. Said? No, Marcus Welby was.
Oh, Marcus Welby. Okay.
Later game, it was mm-hmm. the Leave It to Beaver House.
Right, and I saw it recently. I was watching a show, and I went, "Oh, there's the Leave It to Beaver House again," because it's got that big flat front with the three little windows in it. Mm-hmm. It's very recognizable as a strange design. When I was there, they had just opened up relatively the ice cave that they used in the $6 million Man.
That's right.
Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm. The famous Sasquatch episode.
Yes. So that was pretty cool.
And they've used that and they use it one other show. I can't remember what it was though. But yeah, and that they're still doing that. That's still there.
Yeah.
It still makes me dizzy every time.
Makes me dizzy too. I don't think it was set up as rock work when I was there though. I think it was just an empty pipe.
They used it because for a while there was a Battlestar Galactica, the first series. They had there was a Xylon attacked and so that was a thing you went through. There's a Xylon at the beginning.
Wasn't it Cylon?
I don't think so.
Stay tuned for Battlestar podcast.
No, I think it's Xylon.
Oh,
now, was 75, was that too early for the big Jaws movie? The shark robot that always seemed never to be working. In fact, I think we went there and it wasn't working.
Really?
That the shark.
It's never not where. I've seen it every time I've been there.
No.
But not in 71 because it wasn't there yet.
No.
When I was in 75, it was opening. It had not opened yet. They had the big shark hanging by its tail. Uh-huh. They could get a picture done by it, but they didn't have it operational yet. It still did some.
Did they have the big hillside of falling styrofoam rocks that came rolling down there?
Yes, it did. Yeah. And I've tried to find footage of that, and I can't find any footage of it.
Yeah.
The flash flood, of course, they do to this day, I think.
Yeah. Here's my embarrassing story, which I've told you guys before, and I'll just only do a nutshell of it. But I was terrified as a six-year-old of that whole thing. And none of it worked for me. To me, as a six-year-old, who trusted adults, the fact that someone would say, "Oh, no, look at what's happening," on a tour, constantly, like,
"Let's
get the hell out of here."
Lying to you. How am I going to know if this is a real emergency?
Yeah. I thought I was in constant danger that whole time. There's an avalanche. And I remember I screamed and I cried and I hid my face. And then I looked up, and then people said, "Oh, they all went into that gully, or there was something that caught them all."
Yeah,
I did not see that.
You thought your life was in constant danger on that whole tour.
It's the worst run thing
What about when the bridge started to fall apart?
I thought the same thing. You're just like,
"What are we doing here?"
Because they used to do that as part of the tour. They'd say, "I don't know if we should cross that bridge while we're going." "Oh, I don't think we're supposed to cross that bridge." And the bridge would start to go, and I, as a little kid, was like, "What are you doing? There's a road over there."
They said not to cross.
You adults don't pay any cent.
At some point, a train, an old locomotive came out on the old tour and almost smashed into the thing. Mm-hmm. Again, I thought, why is a train running through here? Who's organized this? This is a disaster. This
never happens at Disneyland.
Oh, my God. And at the very end of it, they had a little thing to do with emergency. And it was the house that was on fire.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "Well, we've had such a great time. I'd like to invite you all back to my place for..." "Oh, no, my house is on fire." And I thought, he's taking it.
Taking it pretty well.
Remarkably well. And then as we went past... it was only the front of a house.
Early?
And I remember thinking, like, well, why would he make us think that was his? I was so literal. I was useless for that thing. Worst possible.
How did you feel about Halloween?
I did not like Halloween. I was the literal boy.
Yep.
Taking things all too seriously.
It's a disaster.
Wow.
At Knott's Berry Farm, when we were on the train there, it used to get robbed.
Yeah.
70. I don't know if it still gets robbed. Mm-hmm. And again, suddenly we got stopped and robbers came on the train. And again, I thought, what's going on?
Mom and Dad, why are you kicking us here? Oh, dear.
This isn't safe for kids.
Slipshod security. And I had a dime in my pocket that I found, and I remember closing my hand around it thinking, am I going to have to give it to him? And then he held the bag out, the masked robber, and he moved on. I had a dime, you fool!
Joke's on you.
I did not enjoy that trip.
No. That sounded horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I hope, maybe we can take you back another time and it'll be better.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm going to warn you about the subway right now. It's slipshod,
Is that the King Kong part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
There's fire.
And don't they have a bit now where like Norman Bates actually chases the tram? That
yeah.
would have done me in as a kid. I said, look, there's a guy. Someone's got to stop this guy with a knife. He's put a, he's obviously put his body in the trunk of that car.
That's right. Yes. Mm. Yep. Oh, okay. No, I'm not taking you.
No. No,
the you call the cops. 911. There's a murder. I just saw him put the body in the trunk.
I saw the whole thing, I swear to God. Where are you calling from? I'm at Universal Studios. I'm on the tour. Hello? Hello?
Put your parent on, kid.
I'm 48.
Oh.
Oops. Oh, well, there's my sharing of a story. That was my holiday story.
That's nice. That's sweet. It makes me think of sugar plums dancing in my head. Could just be the strength, though.
Yeah. Which gets mellower as you drink.
No. It. You know, as you keep drinking it, it gets nicer and nicer.
Unlike you.
Oh, man. No, I get off. I'm horrible.
No.
But, yeah, that was an interesting contrast. Mm-hmm. Considering they're both made with the same sparkling libation.
Mm-hmm. And a generic citrus fruit.
Yep.
I had lemon and grapefruit. You had orange.
Just an orange. Maybe that's the problem. Stupid orange.
Weak.
Weak. No flavor profile.
Exactly.
What is orange?
There's no honor in oranges, is there? Yeah. They're obsequious.
Yeah. There is no honor in an orange.
Yeah.
Obsequious.
No.
See what I did there?
Oh, you're quite the wordsmith. There's an owl. Okay, Roy. Well.
What do you want to do now? You want to make another one? Or just mix it all together?
That's right. I think one of our New Year's resolutions should be that next year we do 2 months' worth of shows all in one back-to-back marathon. Oh, the final episode.
That'll save all kinds of time.
People can binge listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can binge drink.
I'm all for it.
Yep.
Wow. You know, you go back to that sage one, I tell you.
I can't go back to the sage one on account of I liked it so much and drank it all down.
The muddling, or whatever. I mean, but the sage is right there, in front and center.
Yeah. And it's just that sage is a funny herb. Mm-hmm. It a little goes a long way.
Yeah.
But when it works, it's magic. It's really quite a good thing. It's a big part of poultry seasoning, as you say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it tastes a little bit like a turkey.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to drink a turkey.
Turkey in a glass.
So a lot of people see sage with sweet stuff, like chocolates and it's cocktail, and they think, oh, that's going to taste horrible. Those flavors don't. The sage is for turkey and stuffing. But I tell you, you'd be surprised. You will really be surprised. I'm surprised.
Are you?
And I knew. And I'm still surprised.
David Wallowidnick would not set us on the wrong path.
Sweetness and sage, I tell you, it's a magical combination. And you'll
that was the name of Dave and I's band. Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
When we toured to Sweetness and Sage?
Yeah, of course.
At Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm. Check it up on YouTube.
Yeah, Google Sweetness and Sage and you'll see Dave and I's folk
rock duo.
Sweetness and Sage. Yeah. Sweetness and sage. Hello, Christmas, my old friend. We've come to celebrate again. Ooh, good. Did you just do that? You're a regular, I was going to say Louis Nye, but no.
I am. I'm a regular Charlie Callis when it comes to songwriting. No, there's a song.
Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell.
The Lipsy Russell.
There's a song that comes on the radio right now at this festive time of year when it's. We put some funds aside for the Indigent Destitute. That sounds like it's going to be the sound of silence.
Yep.
And I always say to myself in the car, "Hello, Christmas, my friend." But it goes the other way.
Oh,
couldn't tell you what it is.
Sound a little bit like Mr. Burns when you do that. Hello, Christmas, my old friend.
Oh, that's too bad. Because it's supposed to be Stewie. I guess I'm getting older.
Oh, old Stewie.
It's just a generic Dickensian character.
That's right. Like Tiny Tim?
Oh, I love Tiny Tim. You kidding me? Mm. I'm more than like. Love.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
No, not that Tiny
Tim. What? Oh.
Yeah, you're trying to get every laugh in.
Yeah, I'm good. This is my one episode. It's the laugh-in episode, we're calling it.
You have a New Year's resolution you'd like to share with the vast listening public?
Yeah, I want to get out of podcasting.
He's found that there's too much money in it.
Yeah, that's
too
right.
much money. I don't know what to do with it.
The taxes are killing them.
Yep, that's right. I'm going to have to
move. YouTube's where the money is.
No, it's not.
Somebody YouTube was asking me. They said, "How many
pennies?"
Somebody said, "How many listeners do you have to get before you can start to make money on this?"
Probably about 7 million.
That's what I was saying. I said about a million or two. Yeah. He said, "How many do you have?" I said, "Oh, 60." Oh, you got a ways to go. It's getting bigger. It's going up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And they're all in that lucrative demographic.
Yeah.
Of which I don't know, but then you can be sure that they are. They're the kind of people that own people that are computers.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Or telephones.
Or telephonies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so I think it's going to work out well.
That's right. Well, maybe the new year we'll have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, we kind of already do.
Do we?
We do?
Mm-hmm.
What?
What do you mean?
Well, I have a YouTube channel. I have nothing on it that would relate to this.
Oh.
But all it takes is for me to add something to it, and that becomes our YouTube channel.
So what do we need for it to do be on YouTube?
A lot of money. Actually, no, more time
than money. Okay, yeah. Well, I guess I have more time than money, but not that much.
No.
We need video?
Well, you don't need it.
We could just have a still picture and some sound?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a crackling fire. Yeah. On a loop, and then I stand behind it.
Okay, I like it. Okay, I'm in. Mm. Yeah, we'll have to try it with a 3-camera shoot. Is that what we're shooting for?
Well, I don't know if we have three.
Two? So, a 2-camera shoot?
I don't even know if we have two.
One. Do we have one camera?
We got one.
Okay, all right. A master shot.
A master shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, or...
Yep.
In the line of the crackling log.
Yes.
What if there was just a close-up on somebody's hands with a drink?
Oh, yeah.
Doing this kind of thing.
For an hour?
Yeah, this. Playing with stuff.
Yeah.
But we played in the background.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that?
That's
business.
That's pretty good.
Maybe close-up magic from time to time.
You have to get your thumb off there.
Exactly. That's what people will be thinking. Like, oh, yeah. I'll have to back it up.
Yeah, it's fun. It is fun. His thumb just come right off his hand.
That's right. What you should do right now, if you're on a computer, is you should go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And you should search out jokes for all occasions.
Are you still plugging that old piece of...
No, but that will be where our YouTube channel will be.
Oh.
It'll be on Air Fiddle. Because I'm not opening up a whole other account.
Oh. Air Fiddle?
They can put it on my account.
People can't even remember Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Sure they can. It rolls off the tongue.
Sure. Try it.
I
guess you're right. Good point. All right. I stand corrected.
Well, if this was a Beatles Christmas album to the fans, we'd all take turns now wishing our listeners and thanking them for a wonderful year.
Oh, thank you very much. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. This is George. Scouse bastard. Oh, thank you. So it's been great. Oh, thank you for listening. You're great. That convincing Liverpool accent.
This is Jason speaking, and I'd like to thank everybody for such a gear year and for trying all our drink recipes and for all of the wonderful messages and comments you've left behind.
All the messages.
And we wish you a Merry Crimble and a Happy New One. And we'll see you all in 2018.
Oh, thanks, Ringo.
Thank you. And if you're out and about on New Year's Eve...
I hope you are.
And there's somebody that goes out of the way because they have to work the goddamn holiday while you're out there drinking.
Oh, sure.
So reach into your pocket.
Yeah.
Fish in there.
Yeah.
Pull out your loonies and your toonies and your dollars and your $2s or whatever you have. Or your pounds and your pfennigs and your gelders. And your
shillings.
Euros.
Your shillings, your quids.
Your euros. Your... Peruvian
drachmas.
Your yen, your yuan, your Bitcoin,
your Belgian, still euros.
That's right. Oh. Your Belgian chocolates.
Your French Franks. Too. Franks.
Your Deutschmarks.
If you have so many Deutschmarks or Franks left from the war.
You know, I have Deutschmarks and Franks, but they're not from the war.
No?
They're from the mid-80s.
Oh.
Yeah. Before we had a common market.
You should cash those in.
I think my time has passed. Oh. Now they're only...
curiosities.
Whimsy. Curiosity. My cabinet of curiosities.
That's our other podcast we're starting. Jason's Cabinet of Curiosities.
It's loosely based on the shit I got.
Yeah. Not quite as raunchy, though.
Oh, I had that great setup and we lost.
Oh, yeah. So what you're saying is any currency you have.
Oh, that's right. If you had currency and you've got service. Yeah,
let's start and start somebody's new year on a positive note.
Oh, yeah. Let some poor
server
or start the year off in the black.
That's right.
Reach into your pocket. Take out some money. Thank them for their service.
Mm-hmm.
And tip.
Big. Yes.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Oh, really big.
Really big. And have a happy, happy, and safe new year.
Yes.
Yeah, what he said.
Happy Easter.
you've had too much to drink.